gentlemen. This is the second hour of the Rural Survival Show with Tim Spencer and Rick Schmidt. Today is Saturday, the 12th day of February in the year of our Lord, 2022. We're going to wait about 10 minutes before we start taking callers. But if you do want to call in, the number is 512-248-8252. Okay, Rick, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so let me see. I've got, 10 minutes to see if I can give you the crux of what I am trying to convey here. It is this. What I really would like you to do is go to YouTube, and I want you to search this, Mitt Leiter Gardening Course Part 3. Mitt Leiter is spelled M-I-T-T-L-E-I-D-E-R, Mitt Leiter Gardening Course, Part 3. Part 3 is actually the part where they explain why they're doing what they're doing and how they came to the realization that they should be doing this. And I will give you... A cheat here. This man, David, his wife is a certified master gardener, and when they moved, where did they move? They moved, I think, to Texas, which is fascinating unto itself. The first thing she did was, on the lot, selected the garden site and said, you can put the house anywhere else you want, but this is where the garden goes. Then he spent $1,100 on designer soil, kelp, molasses, worm castings, all this nonsense. And the woman was able to only produce meager results, which just goes to show you what a degree you'll get,
yeah.
So... Yeah, it's worth the paper it's written on, to be real. So, complaining, of course, to her husband, which is, it's a husband's job to listen, and don't forget, Monday's Valentine's Day, you damn well better have some plan in mind. I'll tell you what, a Mitt Leiter gardening course booklet would be perfect for your wife. I have one, it's about 3/4 inch thick, it outlines the whole thing, but the point is this, and I got to wrap this up. He started looking around trying to figure out what he could do to help his wife and came across the Mitt Leiter gardening technique. So what he did was he built his own beds, lo and behold, on the east side of the house, and which is not a great place to put a garden. We all know this. Hers was on the south side. She had the pick spot. She had the seats along the first base line there, and he was way up in the bleachers somewhere. So the first year, they spent $110 on her dirt and $125 on his. He used sand and sawdust, and he outproduced the woman 6-1. Okay, now needless to say, she found that to be, it hurt her feelings, to be honest. I mean, here she is, a certified master gardener, thinking she's all that, and her husband, who isn't even a gardener, beats her like a rented mule the first year, planting in stuff that you would normally put at the bottom of a bird cage or something, or in a chicken coop. This is embarrassing. And how did he do it? He did it because he was using the Mitt Leiter process. This man is not a gardener, didn't want to be a gardener, never was a gardener. All he did was follow the instructions that they provide, and he made her look silly. Not on purpose. I think he's a good man, but, this is what happens when you come up with a rounder wheel. There was a square wheel, then there was a round one. She's got the square wheel, he's got the round one. So I have used the Mitt Leiter gardening technique on and off, not with regularity. Never did give it a square shot. But I've seen there are pictures on this video in part three of the difference. She planted beets in her garden, and she had extras left over on the flats, and she said, would you like to put these in your garden? He showed pictures of what they got out of her garden and what they got out of his. His looked like plums. Hers looked like radishes. Okay? So the reason that Hollis didn't get the kind of results for his potatoes that he wanted is because the nutrition simply wasn't there. She isn't getting the results she wants because the nutrition isn't there. Now, you know, for those of you highly principled individuals who can't stand this whole idea, I'm going to tell you, you also probably can't stand hunger. But I remember an interesting scene in the movie The Patriot where they were deciding whether or not they wanted to go to war with England, and Mel Gibson was the patriot, and they were questioning his loyalty and his courage. And somebody said, you know, sir, you have no principles. And he said, I'm a parent. I haven't the luxury of principles. I'm going to tell you this. We have a supply crisis, which is being intentionally exacerbated. We're in a solar minimum, which isn't good for farming anyway. And now it's being further exacerbated by an evil, overreaching government. You're going to need to grow food. You haven't the luxury of principles, in my opinion. You're going to have people looking to you to get food. And if you insist on calling yourself, I don't know, what do you call yourself? A proponent of not harassing the dirt? If you want to go back to that after this whole thing blows over, I think that's wonderful. I think this is a free land, and you should do exactly that. But when it comes time to produce food for your family, I think you need to exercise jurisprudence. And so at least, and rather than just blowing me off, at least go to YouTube, look up the Mittleiter Gardening Course Part 3. The sound is terrible, but if you try, you can hear it. And because I think it was recorded on a phone or something, but the material is valuable. There are 10 parts in the process. If you go through the whole thing, I think there's 16 minutes or so a piece. If you go through the whole thing, you'll understand the process from start to finish. But part three is where they explain why they do it and what happens when you do it. So if you just look at part three, you'll probably get an idea as to whether or not you think this whole thing is for you. I will say this. I've never known a gardener who was not hoping when he planted the garden that he or she would be able to show off, would be proud and would be able to, you know, pop their buttons and say, look what I did. Well, I'm just going to bet if you do this, that's what's going to happen. I'm putting my money there. So I'm going to be more diligent. You got to pick a day of the week. You got your pre-plant mix. You got your daily, your weekly feed. And so you got to pick a day of the week to weekly feed. And you got to stick with it. You can't do what I do and say, well, you know, look, it's Saturday, I'm busy, I'll do it Sunday. No, I'll do it on Monday. No, Wednesday will be fine. If you do that, you ruin the experiment. So you got to stick with it. You know, to that point, I would say, you know, give it a shot and see what you think. You know, it's really up to you, as to, you know, whether or not. I would personally love it if a bunch of people would try it and they would have success and call the show and tell us what happened. That would be a ton of fun for us. I will say this. I checked around seed potatoes. They seed potatoes seem to be about $5 a pound. I was going to order them online, but my local feed store is going to have them in here in the next couple of weeks. And at that point, I'll probably get them for a little less than $5 a pound and no shipping. You know, there's also, and I mentioned this before, the the new variety, the one of my favorites, Sun Gold, but they got the short Sun Gold called Torrangina. My Torrangina seeds came in. I got those from, where did I get those? I got those from Johnny's Select Seeds. But I believe Haas has them as well, Haas Tools. You know, this is going to be a Sun Gold that is not 7 feet tall. It's going to be, you know, more like 4 feet tall. Maybe you like that kind of thing. Torrangina, Torrangina. Like I told you, I'm going to try it, but I'll still plant more Sun Golds. The Torrangina is determinant, which means it'll probably burn out around here sometime in July, whereas I will still be getting Sun Gold tomatoes off the other plants going into the fall. So I'll try it, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Right.
Are there any callers backing up?
No, there's not.
Oh, so with respect to the mint lighter gardening process, this fellow, David, took sweet potatoes, 3, from the store, and he chivied them. That is to say, he put them in the sunlight, and they started growing sprouts. He cut the sprouts off the potato carefully, not to damage the root base, and with 3 potatoes, put them in one bed that was 3 feet by, I think, 16 feet, and he got back 139 pounds of sweet potatoes using the mint lighter method. Now, that's a lot of damn potatoes. Okay, now sweet potato. Well, I don't like them. So I know some people are just addicted to the things, but
I like sweet potato pie. Want the pie. Yeah,
that's what I heard. But they're highly nutritious. So 100. Now that's not all. That's not where this ends. Another Mormon lady said, David, will you give me those 3 sweet potatoes? Well, I don't know. Are they? I guess they're broke. He gave her the sweet potatoes that he used, slipping. It's called slips. She got 100 pounds off of it, gave the potatoes away one more time, and the next person got 100 pounds off that. So that is 339 pounds of sweet potatoes off 3 potatoes using the mint lighter method. And I'm telling you, see, that's the kind of thing that if you've got, and this is out of one bed, so if you've got limited space and you've got mouths to feed, this could be like a real game changer for you. And I would hope that it would be. So this is why I'm suggesting that you take a hard look at it. Am I stepping on anybody yet? There's something else I kind of want to mention.
Well, go ahead, Rick. No, there's no callers waiting, which surprises me. But no, nobody's waiting.
Yeah, Mel Gibson, you know, he came out with that amazing, you know, it'll be Lent any minute, which I'm really looking forward to because, you know, pain is my thing. I'm looking forward, every Lent, of course, you'll see Mel Gibson's The Passion of Christ. If you haven't seen it, it is brutal. It's just brutal, but it's so well done. If it hadn't been Mel Gibson, they would have given him every award on the planet. But he's got another one coming out, but it's not till next year, called The Resurrection. And I'm just going to bet that is going to be an absolute blast. I guess I'd rather watch Christ live than Christ die. I think it's bound to be way more fun. You might get it might not be so depressing.
Right.
There is a site that comes from the Provident Living. Provident, Provident, ProvidentLiving.com. Now, this is going to be for Mormons from the LDS. There's a calculator in here. Put in a storage food calculator, and you'll get it right away. You put in the number of adults in your family, you put in the number of kids under 12, and it will automatically calculate how much food you should have for 1 year. My family, my immediate family, and this has nothing to do with party crashers, is 10 adults and 8 little kids. For them, for 1 year, and this is the reason I'm talking about Midlider, you're never going to guess what I'm supposed to have to feed these people for 1 year. Grains, which include wheat, flour, rice, oats, corn, barley, pastas, I need a little over 6,000 pounds of that, okay? Legumes, normally I was told it's 5-1, but they don't quite have that. They got more like 7-1. Legumes, that's beans, split peas, lentils, nuts, any of these protein guys, I need 900 pounds. Powdered milk, powdered canned cheese, powdered butter, whatever, 460 pounds. Sugar, molasses, honey, all that, 900 pounds. Leavening agents like yeast, baking powder, powdered eggs, why that's in there, it's in there. I need 100 pounds. Salt, 100 pounds. Fats, oils, vegetables, shortening, canned butter, all that kind of thing. I need 460 pounds of that. This is to get my immediate family, keep them alive for 1 year. I also need 250 gallons of water every single week. Okay, so listen here. This is serious business. You might not have thought so. Hopefully right about now, you're thinking that I am just a reed whistling in the wind. I don't know how much food storage you guys got tucked away, but every time you don't grow food, you have to supplement with whatever you've got saved. If you don't grow enough food out in your yard, you're going to wind up burning through your storage in no time. Okay, so
yeah,
this was the reason that I wanted to hold the callers back, because I wanted to get this information to you in one piece, and you can do with it whatever you want. But listen, two things I would ask you to do for your own benefit. Go to Provident, Google up the food storage calculator and calculate and print it out, what you need for 1 year, and then go to the Midlider Gardening Course Part 3 and look at what they have to say and tell me if you don't think these two things fit together like a jigsaw puzzle. I believe that they do. And honestly, like the Japanese say, to know is to act. So, you know, like Russia took one look at Bitcoin. They took one look at what we've been doing to them with our reserve currency, and there was no decision to be made at all. Instantaneously, they said, we're doing it. We're going to hit the U.S. right in their wallet. We're going to go right to their heart and stab them where it hurts the most. So, you know, look it up. Do what you need to do. Any thoughts on the matter here?
Well, I think that most of us are short on what we need. I really do. In gardening, you know, if you can't go to the grocery store, gardening is the only way to supplement what you have. You know, right. I've got to admit, I've got a significant amount of stuff stored up. But, you know, I don't have enough by the food calculator. So, I'm sorry, folks. My grandson and I, last night, just bagged up in Mylar bags another 50 pounds of flour. You know, to add to the 150 we had. And we still don't have enough.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it does store well. I told you before, I was using some stuff that was 10 years old, and it's fine. They claim it doesn't last that long, but it does. I will say,
well, with oxygen absorbers, it does.
Yeah, well, yeah. One of the things that's kind of important, and I don't know if I ever mentioned this, is after you put your food in a Mylar bag and you iron it shut, don't seal that up. Watch that bag. I did about a half a dozen bags in 5-gallon buckets about a week ago, and one of them did not shrink down. When the oxygen
right.
absorber in there goes to work, it will start sucking the air out of the bag, and they will shrivel on down, and so that, you know, you'll see that the bag shrunk up considerably. One of mine did not shrink, which means one of two things. Either I forgot to put the oxygen absorber in there, or they were no good, or there's a small hole in the bag. So because I actually ran out of lids. I have to get some more lids tomorrow after church. But the fact of the matter is, I was grateful that I saw that one bag wasn't doing anything, and that gave me the opportunity to put a little slit in there and drop two more O2 absorbers in and reseal it. And I'll have a look at that, but I'm going to bet that I got the job done. And so, you know, wait for them to shrink before you put the tops on.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead. Please, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we don't use buckets. We use 1-gallon and 2-gallon Mylar bags, and we have those plastic totes from Walmart.
Yeah.
And that way they can be stacked. And I've got several little hidey holes here in the house. And we use that to stack them, you know, like beside our air conditioner. They're like a double closet door. One side's air conditioning, and the other side, we can put 5 of those plastic totes in. And we completely filled that space last night. And now I got to find more space because I got 4 more of those totes to put up. But, you know, there's lots of ways of storing it. You don't got to use buckets, but because they're expensive.
They are. But they've gone up considerably. And once again, now that this stupid Omicron thing is around, Lowe's has run out of all the food-grade buckets yet again. This is a general rule of thumb with your potatoes. You really should be getting a 10-to-1 harvest. That would be an acceptable 9-to-1, 10-to-1, that's what you should be getting. That is to say, if you put down 10 pounds of seed potatoes, you should be getting 100 pounds of potatoes back. So, you know, that would be normal. But, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, 100 pounds of potatoes in a large family does not last long. That's the shame of it.
Right. It wouldn't. You know, I've got potato flakes and all that, but you know, the idea of being able, you've got most people have 6 months or more of gardenable weather, and you've got that period of time to create food so that you don't have to keep eroding your supply. And that's, you know, so having fresh potatoes, plus, you know, let's be reasonable, fresh potatoes are going to be more fun than powdered. So, you know, you can cook them in various ways, which helps to mitigate food fatigue and that kind of thing. So, So if you have a local MFA or a farm supply or something, they will be getting the seed potatoes soon, depending on where you are. They might already have them. And you can, because, you know, shipping on 10 pounds of potatoes, shipping is getting more expensive. UPS is getting scary. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to do anything for under $17-$20 anymore. So, you know, it's going to cost me $50 for 10 pounds of sea potatoes. It's going to cost me another 20 or 25 to get it here. And, you know, that's no fun. You know, what's the point in growing your own food if you can buy it cheaper at the store? Well, of course, there's a learning,
right.
The learning process. But, you know, aside from that, the whole idea was to grow food on the cheap, to get some skills, and, you know, not necessarily eat all their number seven bug killer that they're going to put on these crops that you didn't necessarily want in your mouth. Which, by the way, if you really do have to order them, Haas Tools is one of the cheapest places around, $5 a pound.
Yeah.
I will look at what the other one. There's another real common one called Wood Prairie, but five pounds was $32, Haas was $25, so it's another $7 from Wood Prairie. So, you know, you do want to shop around if you really are in this situation where you gotta have them shipped to you. You know, go to Haas Tools; they do have good prices.
You know, Rick. Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt, buddy. Go ahead.
No. Go right ahead. I was just going to say something about Bitcoin, but you go right ahead, please.
Well, what I was going to mention, folks, that a lot of people don't think about, because I found out from asking some of my friends, you know, if all of a sudden we can't get food stuff and all, and you happen to have livestock like we do, you might consider growing fodder. I'm going to try it for the first time this year. I'm going to grow my own chicken feed. I'm going to grow corn, which I can grind, and millet. And I figure between that and letting them scrounge on their own, we'll be able to keep the chickens healthy. What do you think, Rick?
Well, I think another thing that if you've got space, you know, growing alfalfa, sometimes you can get two cuttings for sure, sometimes three. That becomes a wonderful barter item. It is also excellent food for small animals like rabbits, and chickens love it. The other thing is,
right.
And I'm going to do this with my gardens. Typically in the spring, I would overlay them with compost. But I think just for fun this year, I'm going to overlay them with alfalfa pellets. It won't cost any more, but the alfalfa pellets has some interesting things in it that compost does not. And so I think I'll give that a crank. So you could also use it, in your garden to as a organic material in the garden. So I don't know, if you've got the space and you can grow some alfalfa, that would be cool.
All right, Rick. We all of a sudden have three callers waiting, and of course the tail end of the show. We better start taking these. All right, let's go to Jerry Kirk on line three. Say again. Yeah, all right. Yeah, we'll wait till after the break. My engineer just reminded me. All right,
there
folks, we got three callers waiting. Call in numbers 512-248-8252.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health. not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Rural Survival Show on Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is Saturday, the 12th of February, 2022. Rick, we've got four callers waiting. Callers, be advised, 5-minute rule is in effect. Please stick to the topic at hand. Whatever you want to talk about, it's fine, but let's stick to it. All right, we're going to Jerry Kirk on line 3 right now. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. Thank you for accepting this call. I want to stay on on gardening. I want to stay on point on gardening and nutrition, please. I discovered
something. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I discovered something many years ago. And anyway, the next time I processed the sheep, in other words, took care of the entire process of, you know, everything you do, harvest the sheep. And I drained the blood out of the sheep, all of it, that it was possible to get.
Okay. We did the same thing.
And I diluted it with water. I put a half a pint on every fifth plant in my garden. And as an example, one of the tomato plants had from the time that they had been nutrition, it had 67 potatoes on it, from the green to the ripe stage. And, you know, you can take in, yes, and you pour it, when you do your half pint around there, you pour it in a circle, 1 inch away from the stem. You do not water it, you put it directly into the dust of your garden. My source where I'm researching this is where it tells you in the good book, the blood shall be dumped into the dust of the ground. You wouldn't believe the watermelons, everything else, you wouldn't believe it. Now, some people don't have access to a sheep. I was processing a cow every year, and I talked with my processing place, slaughterhouse, and I brought them 2 5-gallon buckets with tops. And I said, how about just putting the blood in there? And they said, well, yeah, we just dump it down the drain. So if you don't have processed something yourself, you may have to go to more than one processing place, bring them some 5-gallon buckets with lids. You know, pourable type is best, you know, with a hole. And find yourself some fertilizer. You don't need anything else.
Wow. Well, thank you for that, Jerry.
You're welcome.
Good information.
Well, it
All
works.
Right. I hope. Thank you,
you know,
sir.
You really don't want to use just the straight blood. It's too thick. You get too much. Just dilute it about 3-1 or 2-1. And it works great. And all you have to do is watch it from then on. No more fertilizer. No more nothing. Go back to the history of the American Indians. Go back to the history of the American Indians. What did they do with the fish heads, the tails, and the guts? They put it around their plants. And that's how they got their fertilizer. Anyway, you guys have a good day. I try to listen to your show every Sunday because it's about rural survival. Thank you.
Well,
thank you for calling, Jerry. Rick, okay. Any comment on the blood fertilizer?
No. I mean, this is where. Well, okay. So we began with this discussion about Hollis and blood meal and that kind of thing. I can't say that. It's going to take a while for the blood to be broken down by the microbial activity in the soil, broken down into inorganic materials, which would be, you know, the nitrogen, and the phosphorus and the potassium. However, there may be something else at play here. And it might be the microbes. It wouldn't surprise me if the plant is more likely at this point to be responding to the tomato plant. Hypothetically, would be gone, dead and gone by the time the macros are there. But the minerals, the plant, in my opinion, is probably more likely responding to the micronutrients in the blood because those things, those minerals, and those types of things are probably available to the plant, probably practically on the spot. So, yeah,
right.
I don't know. I'm a little confused by it, but I will say this: I have no problem with it. Most people are not going to have access to blood, and so if you do, good for you. I wouldn't waste it, of course. You should probably go ahead and recycle, but at the same time, the mid-lighter gardening process, I'm not trying to sell you anything, but you're going to find, if you like part three and you watch the rest of the parts, you'll find out that you only need a few simple things like Epsom salt, lime, borax, and some fertilizer. The only other thing that you need is a little package of the micros. The micronutrients would be like, 3 from the air, 3 from the fertilizer. So you've got nine more things in the packet that probably are mimicking the blood. So if you don't necessarily, want some fives of blood around, you can always talk to the LDS people and get yourself these little packages of micros and, do the same thing. That would be my comment. We better let these other callers get in here.
Yeah. Let's go to Art, Georgia on line 5. Good morning, Art.
Good morning, y'all. Very interesting information from Jerry there. I had not heard about the blood, but I do remember growing up as a child, whenever we would go fishing, after we got done cleaning the fish, everything went right straight out in the garden, and we just buried it right alongside the plants, and it did great. Staying on topic of gardening, this year I'm going to try something different. I've got about 6 inches deep of good quality straw spread out over about a 30 foot by 10 foot area. It's about 6 to 8 inches deep. And I'm going to do a mix of 50% black cow topsoil and 50% black cow manure humus mix. And then I'm going to spread that evenly across the top of that. And basically, I know this needs to set for about a season before you plant in it. But is there anything else that I can do that would help prepare this and get it ready for a planting?
Well, yeah, if you're going to do it that way, you would have to obviously let that sit for, yeah. Well, I mean, the thing that would speed this up considerably would be to tarp it. Tarp that off, wet it and tarp it, and force that to break down more quickly. That would be that would be what I would suggest. A silage tarp, not this. You don't want a clear one. That would be a different process called solar tarping. And the problem with the clear is it kills all the earthworms and other things like that. So the black tarp will speed up the breakdown of the organic material as long as it's wet. So most people will put their organics down, wet it, run an overhead sprinkler, whatever you got to do, and then tarp it. You'll have to, of course, put rocks or something all the way around the edges, right, hold it down. And you don't need to let that sit for more than a couple of months. Hypothetically, if you were to do that now, you would be able to get onto that. You would be able to plant in that probably in April.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, and I look forward to the other callers. Thank you much.
Okay. Thank you, Art.
Thanks.
Sam, look at Skype, please. Next, we go to Gene in Kentucky on line 9. Good morning, Gene. Oh, Gene dropped. Sorry about that, buddy. All right, let's go to Dave in New York on line 11. Good morning, Dave.
Hello, good morning. It's afternoon here. I'm in zone 5B over here in New York. Just on the lower edge. What's our topic? You said stay on topic, so I had
talking about gardening.
How about gardening?
Okay. All right. Well, what should I be planting here indoors, being in zone 5B at this moment, would you say? Tomatoes?
Any cold crop, for sure, you should be getting going on. I got my onions right here, but you could be planting any cool crop. You can be planting any of the brassicas, cabbage, kale is, we don't eat a lot of cabbage around here. And as I said a week ago,
Outdoor planting?
No, I'm talking about inside. You can start these in flats now. You won't get anywhere trying this outside right now, but you would put these in the flats inside. Put them in the flats inside, and you'll be able to put those out by about, April 1st or April 15th. Now, I'm in zone, actually, 5B here, and I've got to wait another 2 weeks. I've looked at this, and I really wanted to start my tomatoes and my peppers and eggplants now, but the problem is that if I do that, they'll be leggy and they'll root wrap, and I don't want that. So I'm gonna try to find something else to do. like sow socks or something, and I'll wait until March 1st, and that is when I will be standing on one foot and then the other, and I will plant my all of the nightshades, my my peppers, eggplants, and tomatoes, which for me is fun. I get good harvests off all these things, I ran out of pepperoncinis. I give so many away. Everybody loves them, but I don't really find that there's much to do with really hot peppers. Nobody really. I got a few kids here that like to put them in their mouth and then run around and scream, but that's about all they're good for as a party joke. You know, useful peppers, the pepperoncinis, which I can control the heat in. That's the way I like to go, and they're good to eat with salads, and they're great gifts. But you called the talk, so go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. I guess you could trade them with illegal aliens since they're bringing all these guys in from the south. I love the stuff.
I could go into that. We got our fair share.
Yeah. Well, I did want to say something about some data that came out from the CDC, but
go ahead. You can maybe, do that when we don't have anybody else waiting.
Well, all right. Okay. So briefly, I mentioned this on another show, and the problem is people sometimes only take part of the data that they want to see, and they don't look at the others. And one part is that the natural immunity was 16 times more effective.
Yes.
Yeah. Than nothing at all. Okay.
Right.
And it was only like two and a half times more effective than the vaccine to prevent hospitalization. And this was only based on California data because they didn't have any hospitalization data for New York that was in the study. But so. But what we see is that, oh, excuse me, actually, it was, the vaccine was 16 times more effective than doing nothing, than not ever being exposed.
What?
And that is one of the things that people don't want to hear on this venue. They want to hear about the natural immunity, but they don't want to hear about the effectiveness of the vaccine in preventing hospitalization. And I think we need to.
So
you know, we can't just
this, but this information came from the CDC. Is that right?
This is based on the numbers from California. Yes, this is some information that we have. In other words, with a lack of any other information, we do have this information. This information also matches up with what I see physically, but that's a more limited data set. But that's my direct observations. So, and. Furthermore, if someone has a previous COVID-19 diagnosis, as compared to someone who had no previous COVID-19 diagnosis and the vaccine, they are three times less likely to have an incidence of COVID-19. In other words, a diagnosis of it, and that's all based on testing. And this is all during the Delta time period, so probably it's mostly about Delta. So it's saying that the previous natural immunity is three times better than the vaccine in terms of just having an incidence of diagnosis, which, you know, we always look at hospitalizations and deaths as more significant. But those three things I draw from that, and I got that information from Peak Prosperity, Chris Martinson's presentation on it, and then looking at the data myself.
Wow.
It's good to know that the vaccine may have some efficacy here. And this is the point I'm trying to make here is that you've got all these people in the healthcare, you've got all these other people. There might be some rationale behind their thinking. They're only looking at the protective nature of this. They're not looking at the downside.
Right.
And they may be looking at these numbers, which may have, I mean, a 16-fold difference is so great that I don't think they're just faking it. Maybe the two numbers 10 times. Maybe the two numbers 20. I don't know. So this is something
Dave,
we should really consider. Yeah.
Dave, I know one thing.
Yeah.
The deaths have increased in this country for working age people by at least 40% in 2021.
Yeah.
What I'm getting is most of these people had received the vaccine. I think I'd rather take my chances with COVID than getting the vaccine. But Dave, I got to let you go. We got more callers waiting, and I thank you for your call, sir. Next, we go to Great Granny in New Mexico on line three. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I tune in to RBN different hours of the day, and I must say that Dave from New York must have a hard time keeping a job because he spent so much time researching COVID because he calls in on so many shows with so much background knowledge that it's quite amazing. And I called in because this is when we like to find out more about food and gardening, and I had some comments on those things.
Go ahead.
A number of years ago, we were listening to a gardening show from the East Coast, and we heard several really interesting personal stories by people who called into that show about straw bale gardening. And the woman who caught our attention most had said that she lived in a place that didn't have much sunshine because of the trees, and the only place she had sunshine was on her long driveway. So she bought a group of straw bales, and she lined one side of her driveway with straw bales and had an incredible garden that produced incredibly well on top of the paving on the edge of a driveway. And we live in the mountains, and we have trees and roots and a hillside, and the only place to really garden on a flat place is so far from the house that for many reasons it has become impractical. And so we tried for 3 years when we were a little bit younger, a little bit stronger, and had incredible success on a hillside where we could move the straw bales to an area where they got plenty of sun, and we could raise tomatoes even, which...
Uh-oh.
I think we might have lost her.
I'll be dipped. Well, let me say this.
We don't have time for any more callers, folks. We've got to wrap up the show here.
Well, let me
go ahead,
Rick. Let me say this about that. Maybe she's still listening. So I tried it, too. I've actually got the book, and I tried it. And what they want you to do is they want you to wet these things down and sprinkle them with 12-12-12 for about a month or two. And what they're trying to do is incorporate a bunch of food into those bales. But they're trying to let you wait so that some organics, so that some micros start to grow. I will say this. I got a little food off of it, but it was, in my opinion, a failure. I am going to wager this. If David from the LDS can grow excellent food in sand and sawdust using the Mittliner method, then if you were to use straw bales and the Mittliner feed, I'll bet you would, I bet it would be amazing. I never thought to combine the two because they're basically two different theories, but, well, two different endeavors, but the same general idea. We are growing in a sterile media, in a benign medium, not dirt, but you're providing all the nutrient yourself. So I'm going to guess straw bale gardening would go so much better with Mittliner. It's a good idea. I'm thinking seriously of trying it one more time with the Mittliner feed. Well, anyway, I've lost track of time. What do we got?
About 3.5 minutes, buddy.
All right. Well, let's see. Onions. Oh, here we go. So I've got some onions growing right next to me here, and I'm growing storage onions from seed. However, I'm not going to count on these necessarily. So Bruce the Onion Man, the onion expert from Dixondale, D-I-X-O-N-D-A-L-E, I will order from Dixondale some red and yellow onions. Bear in mind that when you go to the, if you go to the site, and I think you should, you're going to have to, you're going to have a map, and you got to pick from the onions that are available to you for where you live.
Right.
Up north, you got long day. Down here in the middle of the country, we've got intermediate, and down south, you got short day onions. We don't have time to get into the reasonings on that, but it has to do with when the onion starts to bulb. So here, we're going to go 12 to 14 hours. That kind of sunlight cues the onion to bulb up. So I will be ordering my onions here this weekend from Dixondale, and they will ship them when it's appropriate, when they think they can get them to me without having them ruined by the U.S. Postal Service. So, you know, for those of you folks that would like to grow some onions, be advised that most people make one of three mistakes. They either buy the wrong onion, or they plant it at the wrong time, or they just don't give it enough food and water. Onions are heavy feeders. Onions and corn are both really heavy feeders. And I saw on the Mitleiter, video, I saw this guy who's giving the presentation, his onions were softball size. And
wow.
Yeah, they were huge. So I don't really know. They got so big that he had to cut some of the tops off because they kept flopping over. So he had so much, the foliage was so heavy they kept falling over. But he cut the foliage about in half, which doesn't matter. And that was a good thing.
Rick, we're out of time, buddy.
Defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness, snares of the devil. May God rebuke him. And you, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the divine power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the other evil spirits who run into the world, seeking the ruin of souls.
Thank you, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, yeah. Same time, same channel next week. And may God bless the USA.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.